The views presented today are those of Crystal Langdon of Crystal Clear Finances and do not necessarily represent the views of Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC.
Have confidence facing financial decisions and learn the steps that are right for you. Join us for the next 30 minutes as certified financial planner Crystal Langdon helps make finances crystal clear.
Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes as we provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence facing every financial decision. Well, today I'm excited because I have a good friend here with me in the studio, Bill Rinaldi. And I know I'm probably not allowed to say this, but I think that he's an expert when it comes to the area of Social Security. So I've asked him to join me today. So, Bill, it's great having you here.
Thank you, Crystal. I'm always happy to see you and what you do here. I think it's a great system you've got here.
Now, we've known each other for, many years? For a while.
A long time, yeah.
And the way, though, that I met you, if you think back a long time ago, is that we were doing seminars, and we still do those in our office. And we do seminars, whether it's on savings or insurance or investments. But this one we wanted to do was on Social Security. Do you remember this?
I do.
And your dad was alive at that time. Right. And we had asked the two of you to come. And we had said, we need you to come. Be early because it's going to be a full house. And I remember you were like, mm-hmm, sure it will be a full house, Crystal. I've heard people, not many people line up to pack out a seminar for Social Security. But I think you were a little surprised.
Well, what I remember very specifically was that you had an exact number of people who were going to be there. And I didn't believe it. But when I got there, that exact number of people were there. And I said, this is the first time I've ever been to a meeting where everybody showed up.
Well, I'm going to tell you the little secret of it, and I'll let all my audience in on that as well, is when we do our seminars, we always order a fresh-made sandwich for them. So in order to get the fresh-made sandwich, I have to call them 24 hours in advance. One of my team member does, finds their special sandwich that they want. So it's a special order.
Right.
So then they come knowing, hey, I got a sandwich waiting there for me. So I don't say that to say they came for the sandwich and not for the Social Security bill, but you know, I'm not so. But we use that with all of our seminars.
Well, I will say that the thing about Social Security, you can talk about 401ks or annuities or something like that. Social Security is the one thing that affects everybody.
Exactly.
So everybody wants to know what to do. And people are very, very confused. You know, that system that they've got today in Social Security is so complicated. And I think this is something that happens with any government program. Over time, if it's popular and if it stays around, it ends up getting all these different wrinkles in the interest maybe of fairness. For example, a Social Security spousal benefit or disability benefit. But all it ends up doing is confusing people.
I know. And, you know, I look at the whole financial industry. So I'm going to do a broad stroke on that. And I look at that and I say, I wonder, Bill, do they intentionally try to make it hard so people don't understand how money works? Because it's like, we need money to live. And yet when we go through high school, we go through college, very rarely do we come out and say, yeah, I know what to do. I know what type of savings I should have and the investments and how that works and my protection and Social Security. Yeah, no.
And the thing is, people have to pay from the moment they start working.
Yeah.
I looked at my statement the other day. I started, I won't give you the year, but it was many, when I was in high school, I worked. Money came out of my paycheck in high school when I was a maintenance worker at an office building.
Yeah.
And it's still there. So people forget over how long it really takes to accumulate this money in Social Security.
Well, I want to talk about some of the mistakes that people make when it comes to Social Security. But, you know, one of the misconceptions that people have is that when they get the Social Security, it's never going to be taxed because, hey, it came out of their paycheck. You should see the faces when I'm sitting down with individuals and I say, oh, so your retirement income is going to be $60,000. That's what you guys are going to live on, or $100,000. And whatever it is, and then they're going to get Social Security. Well, that will be taxed. And they're like, oh, no, my Social Security won't be taxed because that was a tax that came out of my paycheck. So they're just going to give it back to me.
Right.
And having that wonderful discussion of no, Social Security benefits can be taxed depending upon your situation. So there's a lot of misnomers about it. So let's kind of maybe talk about where are the greatest areas that you see that people are making mistakes when it comes to Social Security.
Okay, great. Well, relating to what you're talking about with taxation, the biggest mistake I see people making with Social Security is just trying to do it themselves.
Yes.
Without the assistance of a qualified professional. You know, this is a one-time decision. Mm-hmm. And you need to get it right that first time. Because if you don't, it's going to cost you money every month for the rest of your life. Now, when you talk about the taxation issue, that's a very complicated situation. Mm-hmm. Some of it may be taxable, some of it may not. And the key component that decides that is your other income,
right?
Your outside income. So if you have the ability to manage your source of income in retirement, mm-hmm. then it's kind of a double whammy because you will save income taxes on your Social Security if you manage the other income properly.
And the scary part in all of this is that individuals don't know that, and what they're being trained as a country is put everything into that 401k. And would you say that would be one of the biggest culprits in what makes Social Security taxable to someone?
Oh, absolutely, because when the money comes out of that mm-hmm. 401k, it is 100% taxable. So really, it's almost like it's more than 100% taxable in a lot of cases, because it increases how much of your Social Security is also taxable.
And that's what we're always preaching about. Hey, listen, if at work, and again, I want to make sure I clarify, this is not a recommendation, but we also talk with our clients about the importance of understanding what's the difference between that Roth 401k, pay your taxes now, and the traditional 401k. And people are always, well, I don't want to pay taxes now. Well, here's the deal. We pay them now, or we're going to pay them later, but we always have to pay the piper. It's kind of like death and taxes. You know, those two things are going to be happening.
Right.
So if we can pay them now while we're still working, while we have a job, while we have our health, and while we know what the tax rates are, then that puts us, I believe, in a better position in the years to come when we're in retirement and have to turn on that spigot.
Right.
So I appreciate you bringing that point up, because that is an area that a lot of people aren't looking at. And I know that personally you've sat down with some of my clients. Mm. Last night we had a Christmas party and you were there. And one of our clients said, hey, he helped me. And Bill walked through a whole list of what to do. And he feels so confident now as he's entering into retirement, knowing, hey, this is how I'm going to do my Social Security. But can you imagine if we work with people before they get to 2 years before Social Security and help them get into the right type of investments or tax structures so that when right. they get into retirement, they're not taxing their Social Security.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's talk about another area that you see that individuals are making mistakes that just they're just unaware.
Well, yeah, sure. Another big one is that people don't realize the implications of collecting early from mm-hmm. Social Security. And the one thing I would point to is that there's this thing called the earnings test.
Okay.
And what the majority of people collect either age 62 or 63. And the reason they do it for most of those people is because they need the money.
Right. Right.
But some people think they just want to collect that money early because it's not going to be there in the future.
Right. And I have heard that.
Oh, sure. And people, I've been hearing that. I have to laugh because I remember the first time I heard this, that someone say that was back in, it was 1985.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So a little while ago.
Yeah. Well, and if that guy, he turned 62 back then. If he's still alive today, then, well, first of all, that's great. Congratulations. Because
right.
you've made it quite a ways. But second of all, he lost a lot of money. Because all those years, you know, he had a long lifespan, and during those later years, he could have had a lot more money. But that's getting past the point. The point I'm trying to make here is with this thing called the earnings test.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide to collect your Social Security early, which is before your full retirement age,
right.
for most people, you basically are going to have to make a choice. Either you collect or you keep working.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't do both, because of this thing called the earnings test.
So give a little more detail on that.
Okay, well, the way it works is that if you make if you're making wages above a certain amount of money
mm-hmm.
and you're collecting Social Security and you're below your full retirement age.
Right,
which
so
is
you're 62, you're short on cash, you say, you know what, I'm finally eligible, I'm going to take it, I need the money, and you keep the job that you're working at.
Right. What happens is Social Security will withhold some of your benefit. And the formula is it's $1 for every $2 over $17,640.
And that's for 2019 numbers.
That's right. That's right. And they've announced what it is for 2020. I don't remember exactly the number. But what happens, the result of that is that if you're making $65,000 or $70,000 and you continue to work and you want to collect your Social Security, it's going to be reduced down to zero by this formula.
Yeah.
And so many people don't even think about this, or if they do think about this, what they say is, well, I'll just tell them I'm not working anymore.
Yes.
And I've seen people do that, and it doesn't work.
All right. And I want you to touch on that, because I have heard people say that, well, they won't know. And I'm like, it's the government. They do know. They will find out. And what happens if someone says, okay, I'm going to keep my $60,000 job, I'm going to collect Social Security because things are tight. Well, and they didn't tell the Social Security that they were going to keep
right.
the job. What happens?
Well, what happens is when they first apply at age 62, they're asked the question, how much money do you anticipate working in wages? And by the way, it's just wages. It's not interest, income.
And that's good to point out.
Yeah, and dividends or anything like that. And if you put zero on that form, telling them you're not going to work from this point forward, well, you know, the Social Security Administration is not the IRS. Mm-hmm. That's the good news.
Yes.
The bad news is that they talk to each other all the time. So
they're best friends. So, yes.
So what's going to happen is, in a situation like that, the following year after the tax return is filed, you're going to get a letter from the Social Security Administration. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be a pleasant letter. For one thing, they're going to adjust your benefit on a going forward basis. If you're you started at 62, now you're 63, they're going to take away more of your money. Mm-hmm. And if that's not enough, I've seen situations where they have what's called a demand letter, where they want some of that money back. So that does happen. So it just, and again, this gets back to that first thing we talked about, where you really need a financial professional to help you with this decision.
And, you know, can I speak to that? Because I know a lot of times people say, well, I'm just going to go down to the Social Security Administration. I'm going to talk to them down there.
Yeah.
And I want to be careful here because I don't mean any disregard to the people that work there. I mean, I have heard some stories of some very compassionate people that work there.
Oh, yeah.
But I do believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're not allowed to give the advice. They can give your options, but they can't really give you guidance. Is that correct?
That's correct. And of course, the person at the Social Security Administration is not going to know what your other options are. They're not going to know how much money you've got saved in other places or anything
and
like that.
And that's a huge point, because they're not going to know your cash flow. They're not going to know what you have in investments. They're not going to know all of that. They're just looking at their piece of the puzzle.
Right.
And just saying, okay, here's your options.
Right, and they can tell you, you know, if you collect at this point, you're going to get X amount of dollars.
Right.
If you collect at that point, you're going to get Y amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as they can go.
Right.
They are specifically prohibited from giving you any sort of financial advice, and with good reason, I think.
Right. Well, and because if they're not, I know with new regulations that have come out, that even life insurance agents can't call themselves financial planners because they're not looking at the whole scope of it. So Social Security Administration, when they're sitting there, they're not planners. They can give you one piece of the puzzle and say, here it is. I would argue that you would need to sit down with a financial planner and one that's certified.
Right.
Like myself and those here at Crystal Clear Finances, where we can say, okay, let's look at the whole picture. In fact, we have a meeting today after our program is where I'm sitting down with an individual, and he has questions between railroad benefits and how does that work. And don't worry, we don't have to get into that on the program because that's a whole new can of worm. But here he is 5 years before, and he's starting to say, okay, how do I put things in place? So I would encourage, going back to your first point, make sure you're working with a professional.
Right.
And then the second one, understanding, like you're saying, listen, there's an earnings test, and you might be so excited that you can file for it at 62. And here's the deal. If a person needs it, that's totally different, Bill.
Right.
Then if someone just says, hey, it's there, I'm afraid it's going to run out, I'm going to take mine while I can get it, chances are, if you're making more than $17,000, it's going to be a reduced amount that you can get.
That's exactly right, yes.
Now, when I look at this, someone collecting at 62, what impact does that have or doesn't have on their spouse, whether it's in survivor benefits or spousal benefits or the spouse just taking their own? Because I think sometimes we make decisions just based on me And we forget, ooh, there's two in this room.
Well, if I could have asked myself a question, that is the question I would have asked. So,
okay, good great.
Job. Because we talked about two big mistakes people make. Mm-hmm. I think the third one is not considering the spouse.
Mm.
And what happens is if anybody does think about when to collect at all, they kind of do a calculation on the back of a napkin or something based upon how long they think they're going to live and try to figure out what's best. Well, spousal and survivor benefits are a wrinkle that hardly anybody considers when they're doing it by themselves.
Right.
I would emphasize the idea of a survivor benefit. And the survivor benefit is really pretty straightforward. If you have a married couple, the survivor benefit, and if both people live past age 70, they're both collecting Social Security, the survivor benefit is simply the higher of those two benefits.
Right.
So if I'm collecting $2,000 a month and my wife is collecting $1,000 a month, if something happens to me, my wife moves up. She gets to $2,000 a month.
But she doesn't.
But, yeah. I mean, she gets the $2,000 a month. Now, if something happens to her, I keep getting my $2,000 and nothing happens. But either way, when that scenario occurs, the $1,000 a month goes away.
Yes.
So the household was collecting $3,000 a month. Now they're collecting $2,000 a month. And that could be a real problem because I think, as you've seen, Crystal, when people get older, the first thing they want to do is stay in their own house.
Yes.
They don't want to go into assisted living or anything like that unless they have to.
Right.
Well, if you're going to stay in your own house, all of a sudden you have less money to pay the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And you have less money to pay the real estate taxes and the maintenance. Mm-hmm. I know if something happened to me, the maintenance in my house would go up.
Right.
So, so that...
I'm thinking of me. I'm thinking, no, the maintenance wouldn't go up. George just does it all. But still, there would be other things that he would have to say, okay, the increased costs. So
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
People aren't looking at that. They're just thinking they still get both of them. Mm-mm.
Yeah. No, so they only get the one. And really, the only way I can think of to deal with something like that is through life insurance.
Mm.
Because if you have life insurance, when the one person dies, you can create a pool of money to replace that lost income. And that can be so critical when someone gets older.
You know, and I'm glad that you brought that up because a lot of times what we'll do is we'll talk about how life insurance can refill the bucket. Because during the retirement years, what happens is they're taking the Social Security, they're taking money from whether they're Roth or their 401k, their investments, and they get to that place where one of them has passed away. Well, in the meantime, they've depleted the 401k. I mean, hopefully they've both been living a long time. Having the life insurance on the individual who passes away allows you to pour that tax-free money in. Now you've got a new bucket of money that says, okay, yes, you lost this monthly Social Security benefit. Look, I've got $100,000, $200,000, $500,000, $1 million, whatever it is, to help replace that income. And to me, I think that's so critical. But it's often overlooked.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You've got to look into the future as far as you need to because that's when I see a lot of tragedies occurring is at that age because people run out of money too early. And that's where they really have a problem.
What I found is so when people take it at 62, it's usually a cause of no, they're not making $60,000 a year. They're making maybe $20,000 a year and they just can't get by.
Right.
And so they take the Social Security and they say, okay, so I'll get the Social Security and I'll reduce my $20,000 job by $3,000 so I can have a part-time job and have my Social Security. Everything's okay.
Right.
But then I have those individuals that say, I don't really need the Social Security. I've done a good job saving, good job investing. I'm comfortable. Maybe they have pensions or whatever we've done with them.
Right.
And they've got this opportunity to take Social Security. And this is so exciting when I see this happen, is that we are able to turn on that Social Security, but instead of it going into the household, and I wait till their full retirement age, so there's nothing, because they're still working full-time jobs. So I want to make sure everyone understands they don't take it early. They take it at full retirement age. And we use that to fund a life insurance policy.
Well, yeah, let me comment on that for 1 second.
Sure.
I've advised so many people, I can't tell you, on what to do with their Social Security. The drawback, the limitation to what I advise people to do in most cases is I can show you how to maximize that income for yourself and for your spouse. I can't do anything for your children
yeah.
without, or I can't help you build a family legacy, for example. Mm-hmm. If someone's in the right circumstances, I think that's a fabulous idea, because what you're doing is you're actually taking the Social Security benefit, and you're someone who doesn't need that to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. You're taking that Social Security benefit, and you're essentially leveraging it up to a much more significant amount of money for your children.
Absolutely.
Which Social Security by itself, taken in isolation, you can't do. But if you add this extra layer, you can really do a lot for your family that way.
You know, Bill, I'm always telling my clients, listen, we have a dollar and we want to make sure that dollar has multiple uses, right? We don't just want that dollar gets used for one thing and there it's gone. So if I can take Social Security and that amount of money and turn it into a death benefit of hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they don't need that money from the Social Security, oh, we can do that all day long, especially right. because it's going to go tax-free. Now, I think about, I have a client, she's a single mom, she's in her retirement years. Now, she was one of the fortunate ones where she has a teacher's pension. So she got in, she has all the bells and whistles, very comfortable. Health insurance is paid for, one of the rare cases nowadays. And so she was in a place where when she reached full retirement age, she said, Crystal, I don't need this money. But she has children that are adults. And she said, but I want to leave something to my sons, but I also like the lifestyle I've gotten accustomed to right now, and I like doing things with them. She goes on trips with them. So we were able to turn her Social Security income stream on, and it literally is funding a policy. So every time that money comes in, literally she's securing multiples of those. And I just think that's such a fabulous idea.
And it's funny because I just ran some numbers a couple of days ago. I had to double check what I was seeing mm-hmm. because the amount of money you can provide for your family by taking that Social Security benefit is far more significant than I first expected.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually look at the numbers and you take that money, you put it into a life insurance policy, you can really do a lot for the quality of your life, mm-hmm. of the life of lives of your children.
Oh, absolutely. I know that there are individuals right now, Bill, that we're working with that they're just using regular income from their paychecks and they're putting in place their life insurance policy. But right. this is what I love. Now when they get to retirement, remember we talked a moment ago about how when you take money out of your 401k, it's going to increase the amount of money, the taxable income, and now it's going to make your Social Security probably taxable. Well, when I take money out of the life insurance for their lifestyle, now they're having their cake and eating it too, because right. now they're able to have the lifestyle. They're not getting their Social Security taxable to them. It's like a win-win across the board. Such a powerful tool that I think a lot of times individuals don't even think about life insurance. They think of it more as, okay, it's just death benefit, but we can actually access the cash and create legacy.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's awesome. So any other things that we need to watch out for? I do want you to speak to this. I know that there is a situation where if one person decides to do something with their Social Security, it hurts the spouse as far as, and I'm not sure, is it the survivor benefit or the spousal benefit?
It's the survivor benefit.
All right, so.
The spousal benefit isn't affected, but with the survivor benefit, mm-hmm. I'll give you a very simple example.
Okay.
And I'm assuming we're not doing what we were just talking about
right,
with
right.
the life insurance, okay? But this is someone who needs the money.
Right, okay.
So let's say, as I said, the higher benefit, it becomes the survivor
right.
benefit. So what happens, let's say my benefit at my full retirement age is $2,000.
Okay.
Well, if I collect at age 62, mm-hmm. now I was born, my full retirement age is age 67.
Okay.
So if I collect at 62, that's 5 years early, I'm getting 70 cents on a dollar. Mm. So I'm getting $1,400 a month instead of $2,000.
Right.
Now, if you're thinking about it as a single individual, you might say, you know what? My family history is not good. My health is not great or whatever. I'm going to collect early and get the $1,400. Because I may not live long enough mm-hmm. to reap the benefits of waiting. I might die when I'm 72 or something like that, in
right.
which case it would have been a mistake to wait until age 70.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife happens to be 3 years younger than me.
Right.
And in excellent health. Well, yeah. That changes the whole calculus, doesn't it? Because if she's collecting $1,000, I'm collecting $1,400. Mm-hmm. When I die, she steps up to $1,400. Whereas if I had waited, she could have stepped up to $2,000.
And I think there's been a mistake that people say, well, no, my full retirement age is $2,000. So if I die, she gets to have the $2,000. No, she gets to have whatever you are getting paid out.
She's stuck with your selection, with your benefit. Now, it works the other way, too, in the sense that if I waited till age 70, I wouldn't get $2,000. I would get $2,480 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if I waited till age 70, that becomes her benefit. And what happens if she lives past age 90?
Right.
That benefit, that applicable benefit, whatever it is, becomes her benefit for a very long time.
So if you don't, let me just summarize. So if you don't need the money and you can hold out and wait, then many times that may be the best route to go, unless we're pulling it for life insurance to multiply that. Or there's some other reason that we haven't discussed here, but a lot of times we need to think about how long, if you don't have life insurance already in place, making sure you have the maximum Social Security benefit may be, and again, we're not giving recommendations because every situation is different, may be the best route to go.
Sure, and there are a million different caveats with that because, for example, if someone has young children, that's they can get a benefit for that child. That may be an incentive to collect earlier to get that money while it's there because once the child gets past age 18, they can't get that money anymore.
Which to me is why I love the software that you have.
Right.
So just talk a little bit about what the software does and how it came to be.
Well, sure. You mentioned my dad, mm-hmm. Frank, and I. We worked very closely together for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we, along with a partner, developed software to look at the benefits on Social Security for a married couple. Because, a single person is fairly easy.
Yeah,
it's just a bet on how long you're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
With a married couple, with all these other benefits to throw in there, it gets to be very, very complicated. Now, actually figuring out the result is complicated. Figuring out what to talk about, what to put into the system is not mm-hmm. difficult. All we need is a Social Security statement from each spouse.
Right.
If we have that information plus the date of birth, mm-hmm. we can make a pretty good guess as to what the best option is.
And they can get that at SSA.gov, correct? That information.
Yes. They can log on to SSA.gov. Mm-hmm. They can go to the Social Security office if they want. But I think it's a lot quicker and easier
just go
to SSA.gov.
And that's just information that they can call my office. I can sit down. This software that you have created is available to me.
Yes.
And then we can put that information in. It's going to print out all these different options. Like, here's what the top three are, or here's the top five, so that individuals can look at it and say, yeah, that's the one I want.
Right. Now, I mean, in theory, there are 81 different options for every married
couple. Okay, we're not going to go through all 81.
We're going to say what's the earliest you can collect, which is 62,
mm-hmm.
then full retirement age,
yes.
then the latest you collect, which is age 70. And we'll do some combination of those three options to figure out what the best alternative is.
Wonderful. Well, Bill, I'm looking at the clock and realizing we're done. So thank you so much for joining me today. I want to have you come back sometime. Are you willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. And I want to thank all of you for listening and encourage you to join us again next week as we continue to provide more financial clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you and God bless.
Have confidence facing financial decisions. Learn the steps that are right for you. Visit crystalclearfinances.com or call 518-433-7181 today and schedule a free initial conversation. Discover the strategy that is right for you and reach your financial goals. Crystal Langdon is a certified financial planner, investment advisor, qualified kingdom advisor, and a member of the Christian Financial Planner Network. Tune in next Saturday morning for more Crystal Clear Finances. Investment advisory services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Alpha Star and Crystal Clear Finances Incorporated are independent entities. The information provided is for educational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice for anyone. All information discussed is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. The opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. Please consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy.